month about Mother's Day and about aprons and about what aprons represent to her as a metaphor. So, Monica, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really well. It's a beautiful day out there.
Excellent. Well, I'm so glad that we could connect and talk about this, because I found myself really interested and fascinated with what you were talking about in terms of aprons and what they represent to you.
And I'm really glad that you've decided to turn my thoughts about this into a show, because I've been thinking about this for a lot of years, because I've been wearing aprons for a lot of years, and I think that it's something that's getting talked about more and more.
Awesome. So can you tell me, and for the people at home, what do aprons represent to you?
Well, I live in an older house, and we don't have a dishwasher. And so for me, I wear an apron all the time, probably a couple of times a day at least. And so when I'm going to be in my kitchen and making some food or washing up, I always put on an apron. Part of it is to protect my clothes, so I'm not rushing off to work with, you know, wet clothes or whatever, but it's also because it helps sort of center me, and so when I'm in the kitchen, that's what I'm doing, and that's what my focus is, and I find that I'm more energized when I'm wearing my apron. I feel more like cleaning and tidying up and making, sort of doing more nurturing things, and but then when I take off my apron, that's it. I stop doing that.
Well, that makes me think of a story that you were telling me last time we spoke, and I just thought it was just beautiful. You were telling me the story about cooking for your family, and you had some people over, and how you changed roles from being the homemaker, the mother, the nurturer, to other aspects of who you are. Can you talk about that?
Okay, well, there's a couple of pieces around that. The incident that you're talking about is where I was making a dinner for my son's birthday, and I actually wore a nice new apron with some pearls and really felt like, you know, I was being the homemaker, making this beautiful dinner. And so that was nice for me, because I realized that aprons don't have to be drudgery. They can actually be a real invitation to my guests that I'm looking after them and that I'm in charge in the kitchen, and I know what's happening and what I'm doing. What I always do, though, is whenever I sit down, whether it's when I have guests or just my family or just myself eating at home, I always take off my apron. And that's because I'm finished with that part of it, the cleaning and the preparing. And now when I'm at the table with my family, I am a mother, a companion, a friend, a wife, and I'm not serving them anymore. I'm basically enjoying my meal, and it allows me to relax and not be tempted to jump up and get the butter or whatever. It's sort of a message to the family that I'm finished with that now. So,
one of the things that I found really fascinating around talking with you about aprons is this idea of roles. I'd never really thought about how we can switch roles with an item of clothing and just switch it up so quickly. There's something really beautiful about that, because sometimes, and with Mother's Day coming up, sometimes mothers or homemakers have been pegged into this one-dimensional role.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're giving a really different slant on it.
Well, I have a lot of roles. Like, I work in a professional job. I have a family. I have my other family, my family of origin. So I'm a daughter and a sister. And I think maybe what I think about a lot is that it's a role, same as when women put on red shoes, like high-heeled shoes, or if I'm going out in the evening with my husband or to a party, I'll dress up and maybe put on a little black dress or some black high heels. And as soon as I put that on, that's who I am for the evening. Like, I'm done at home. I'm going out for the evening. I'm going to look nice and be sexy. And so the apron to me is the same thing. It's just taking on a role that I'm going to be in for a particular period of time. And it just reminds me of that's what I'm doing right now. And so I think that's what I was talking about before. Yeah,
it's beautiful.
Yeah.
One thing I think of with aprons, it really takes me back to my mom, who, as you know, passed away over 10 years ago. She loved aprons. Now, she was born in 1930.
Mm-hmm.
So for her generation really, I don't know, they just saw that an apron was just something you wore. Mm-hmm. It was just something that you had.
I think it was, I mean, I was at your mom's funeral, so I know that it was a hard time, and I think as Mother's Day comes around, we all think of our mothers, and we also need to honor our mothers. And I think for women, traditionally, in our North American culture, that aprons were very much part of the home life, and that they were basic and simple things that were very practical. And I find for me, I have tons of aprons, and they're all very nice, but I wash them all the time because I'm using them all the time. So they're like a T-shirt, right? They're a piece of clothing that is constantly being used in lots and lots of different ways. So I think they're really practical. Like sometimes I'm cleaning a little bit and I'll stuff something in the pocket on my way upstairs, or I'll use it to wipe my hands or maybe wash, you know, dry a dish quickly. Or I remember when my son was little and, you know, he'd cry and his nose is running, I'd use my apron and, you know, I'd just keep going. So I think that they've been really commonplace in our homes, and that as we've developed with dishwashers and newer homes and people not being at home and doing the same things that they used to do at home in the old days, that they've sort of gone out of style because we don't need them anymore. But I do think that they are a very practical piece of clothing for a lot of women. I don't know if I told you about this women's organization that I belong to, Tynehead Women's Association, and it's in my local neighborhood. We have a heritage hall that's 100 years old, and we're in an old sort of Surrey neighborhood, and we put on a dinner 3 times a year that's like a community dinner. It's kind of like a church dinner, but there's no church, so we dinner.
Yeah.
There's one coming up, and it's a roast beef dinner with mashed potatoes, and we all bring a couple of pies, homemade pies, and it costs like $8 a person, and there's about 100 people, like sort of pioneers from the neighborhood that come. And for most of us, it's the only time we've really gotten to know our neighbors or know who lives in the neighborhood. So all the women there wear aprons, and a lot of them are from that generation that you talked about with your mom.
Mm-hmm.
Those women are in their 60s, 70s, 80s. A lot of them are dying or gone. And so we're sort of carrying on the tradition, some of us younger women who are in our 50s. But, you know, everyone there has an apron on, we are women with aprons, and I think about that quite a bit, is how women wear aprons. And in that role, again, we're helping people, we're serving them, we're cooking nice food. They know who we are, that we're there doing that, and we all wear different aprons, and it looks really nice. And whenever we take a picture of us as a group, we always, if we have our aprons on, because some of us are in the kitchen.
Nice.
Selling raffle tickets or whatever we're doing, we always take a picture of us with our aprons, because that's what we have in common, is we're there making the dinner.
Monica, I think you've got a book there, Women with Aprons.
Yes, Women Who Wear Aprons.
Women Who Wear Aprons, that's right.
Aprons, yeah. Yeah.
That's gorgeous.
Too, it's called The Women Who Do Lunch, and I think I'm going to work on that one with you a little bit, Elaine, go for lunch again.
I think that would be really interesting.
Yeah. It's interesting how we ran into each other and don't know each other that well, and then we ended up going for lunch and having this really wonderful discussion about our roles as women.
I know, and it just really inspired me with my radio show just to talk about it. And linking it right up to Mother's Day I've actually found it really exciting. I have some songs that I'm going to be playing a little later in the show.
Yeah.
One is called Apron Strings. Another one is called Let Go of My Apron. Mm-hmm. And I know that you know this song. Actually, we're going to hear that right now.
Okay.
One of my mom and dad's all-time favorite is Hey Good Lookin'.
Oh.
What You Got Cookin'.
Oh. Went. And you know what? When I wear an apron, I feel really good, right? I feel that I'm doing something good. My family sees that I'm doing things for them. And for me, it's just a practical thing to do. So.
Well, it makes sense. But I think another piece of that is that somehow, just sort of as people get busy and their lives get hectic, a lot of traditions fall away. We can really look at it as an apron, as a tradition that for many people has gone.
Yeah. And, you know, if you're going to do something like bake cookies at Christmas time, which, you know, we all want to do that, but most of us aren't those super moms that do it. If you put on an apron, you really get into it with your kids. I mean, you really enjoy it that much more because you feel that you're part of this experience. And I think that part of the apron thing is about nurturing our families. And I know for me, I really have changed the way I eat a lot. Like, I've gotten much more conscious about cooking at home, that cooking at home is a really good thing. I want to provide pure food, natural food, without the extra stuff. And so wearing the apron is all part of that. It's taking the time to be home, to not just rush in and out of the door, to take the time to prepare a meal, enjoy a meal, be part of it, be present, and be with your family for that period of time. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice. Well, it's been wonderful to talk with you today. And I wish you well with your dinner at Tynehead. I really wish I could be there, but I will be on the air doing my show.
You know, Elaine, I was in HomeSense on Sunday, and I noticed that they had a lot of aprons, and they were hanging up front for me.
Oh.
And there's some very dressy ones out there, and some of them are very expensive. And but they are, if you think about it, like a dress, not just an old piece of fabric, because I know traditionally, like, my sister lives in Australia, and she has got a big cupboard that's filled with fabric that's sort of been passed down from generation to generation. And those are the fabrics that the women made their aprons out of on the farm that they wore all the time, right? And so I think that's changed as well, that it's not just something that you know, whip up from old fabric for practical reasons. It's also become something very fashionable. And then if you're having a dinner party, think about an apron, because it will make your outfit look really, and it will help you be very much in the role of what you're doing at that time. So they're nice.
So just going back to what you're saying about women on the farm who made their aprons, do you think they made the ends because they were making clothes for their family? Do you think they used the ends and the leftover fabric to make those aprons?
Well, I remember in grade 8, I had to go out and buy fabric to make an apron, and it was a tough decision.
Was that for home ec?
Yeah.
I had to make one, too.
It's an ugly thing. I didn't choose a fabric that suited my personality, and now I realize I only buy aprons that I like, right?
Mm-hmm.
They are something that maybe I wouldn't wear, like I have a nice floral ones, those Jessica Simpson ones. I've got quite a few of those, and so I only wear ones that suit me and I like and I'm comfortable in. And I think maybe in the old days, people made what they had left, and maybe that's why we see a lot of aprons that are mishmash of different fabrics or have different pockets or whatever. I think they can become quite a creative thing as well, because what I'm seeing in some of the stores are some fairly expensive ones, and they are very creative. So.
Now, I don't remember the last time I bought an apron. Where, if somebody out there wants to go buy an apron, where would you recommend that they go?
Well, the first thing is, don't buy a big boxy one that says Le Chef on it that weighs a ton.
Mm-hmm.
Man's apron, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The guy that you're going to get to barbecue, you know, on that yearly outside party. So I always look for smaller aprons. So I particularly look at children's aprons, because I don't like them too big. So I like something fairly short and cute. And I like a bib myself, because I'm trying to protect my middle of my shirts. I don't get, you know, grease on my or whatever when I'm cooking. And I like a tiny bit of ruffle on mine. And so what I would suggest is, when you go on vacation, look for an apron. So I was just in Hawaii, and I was in a little tiny village, and there was a florist shop, and they had a few knickknacks for sale. And I went in, and there was a few homemade aprons that a little old lady locally had made and was selling. And I bought a really nice apron that I brought home.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I've been in Barcelona, and I've been in Europe, and beautiful aprons, because they're so practical, the light cotton ones. And so, you know, look when you're away, because it's a great way of investing a little bit of money and bringing back a souvenir that you're going to use. Places, you know, local stores, the best time to look is sort of after Christmas, when they're clearing them, because they can be, you know, $30, $40, $50 for a nice one. And so if you get lucky and they're clearing them sort of after Christmas or whatever, buy a few, because if you like the apron, you're going to use it, and it's going to get stained, and after a while it's not going to look so nice, so it's like something you're washing every day. Just keep your eye out and just be open when you're in a home store or whatever, and if you see one, grab it, because usually they just have a few of them. And if you know, try it on. I always look for a mirror. I always try it on. I want to see how it fits around the hips, if it's too wide, if it's too narrow. Make sure this I can adjust it at the top, and then if I really like it, I just buy it. And like I said, I have quite a few, and my favorite has been been a solid black one with a little bit of ruffle, and that's my dress-up one, a little bit of white and black trim, but that one's gotten old, so I can't use it for that anymore. So, but fortunately, every once in a while, I get a nice one as a gift, too. My son has bought me a couple of nice ones, but he buys them in good meaning. He knows that I'll use them and enjoy them, and he even asked me just recently, how come you don't wear that new apron I bought you for Christmas? And I said, well, that one's new, and I'm saving it for dress-up occasions. So there's an occasion, then I'll put on the new apron. I'm not just going to wear it for my regular day-to-day.
That's lovely, Monica, that your boys would buy you an apron. They see that you value that.
And it's a very pretty one. It's very black with really bright neon colors. Mm-hmm. So tasteful. Yeah.
Nice.
So, I mean, just to kind of go over this about the women in the high heels, I mean, that's sort of what I think about with the aprons is if you put on a pair of high heels, as a woman, you feel like you are that woman in the high heels, and that's what you're doing that evening. You're in high heels, mm-hmm. out, you're going to have a good time, you're going to be interesting. And the same with the apron. You put on the apron, you're home, you're preparing food, you're cleaning, you're doing something, usually in the kitchen, and I just feel more motivated and more centered on what I'm doing. If I see myself in the mirror, it just reminds me, oh yeah, right now I'm doing cleaning, you know, like because I often do my house cleaning in little spurts where I just go, okay, for the next half hour, I'm just going to clean or I'm going to tidy up the kitchen and that's it, right? And so often that's when I put on my apron and I just go for it. And then when I'm done, I take it off and I stop.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way I need to live my life because I have a lot of other things to do besides cooking and cleaning.
So. Mm-hmm. I really like that. I just can't help but think of just how busy we get. And personally for me, when I put on a dress and put my hair up, I feel really feminine.
Yes.
I think just, I don't know, get so busy. And I don't always take the time to dress up and to go out. And I think there's, in BC, in Vancouver, there's a lot of women in yoga pants.
Yeah.
And in, you know, just more casual wear.
Yeah.
Even to more, you know, fancy events.
Yeah.
A lot of women dress down. So I think there's something to be said about this idea of, you know, you can experience your life differently if you're willing to, you know, it's almost like a costume. It's not a costume in a cheesy way, but it's a costume in terms of this is my role right now and I am multifaceted.
Yeah. And the apron is like, it's like a mini dress. It lets you, it's not that expensive, and it lets you wear ruffles or a little bit of a certain look that maybe, like for me, it's sort of the housewifey look, right? That maybe I, you know, sort of the 50s housewifey look that maybe I wouldn't wear otherwise, but because I'm having people for dinner, I'm going to put on this apron, and people like that. They come over and they feel like, oh, you're making dinner. They see that I'm together, I'm organized, my apron is clean. It's very important to always have a clean apron, so it's something you got to wash all the time, and it is a very feminine thing, and I think that's maybe that it was what I meant about don't buy a man's apron. Buy something mm-hmm. like that's very feminine that you're going to put on and you're going to giggle a little bit and feel very sweet in your role and be nurturing and you're going to take on that one role of femininity that we all take on at different times. But it doesn't mean that you're at home all the time, or it doesn't mean that you're not, you know, it isn't always fun when you're wearing an apron, but it can be fun. So,
well, Monica, we need to move on in the show.
Okay.
So I just want to thank you so much for being on our program tonight. And
Elaine, remember, if you buy an apron, buy it short because it's a lot cuter than a longer one.
Well, you know what?
Yeah, because then you can wiggle a little.
I know. Now I'm thinking
dishes.
I need to get an apron.
And a nice little bow in the back.
And so I'm really looking forward to this. And so for women out there, take Monica's advice. You can get something really dainty or sexy and
if you
be practical.
If you see something that's got too much, like bows or whatever, I just cut them off. You know?
Oh, yeah. You don't want.
So you just do what you need to do to make it comfortable for you.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent.
Okay. So to all the mothers out there, I wish you a very, very happy Mother's Day. Be good to yourself and think about buying an apron for yourself because you might really enjoy it.
And that concludes our interview with Monica Matzie and her take on aprons. So now I have a song that I'd like to dedicate to Monica and her husband, Paul. Although it was recorded in 1955 by Johnny Cash, it wasn't Cash who made it famous. It was actually recorded like in 94 by none other than Hank Williams. So here it is now, Hey Good Lookin'.
Say hey find us a brand new recipe. I got a hot rod Ford and a $2 bill, and I know a spot right over the hill. There's soda pop and the dancing's free. So if you want to have fun, come along with me. Say, hey, good looking, what you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Arts Edge. This has been Annie Roach, and you've been listening to the Mother's Day edition of our program. And if you've missed any portion of tonight's show, the interview, or specific songs you'd like to hear again, you can always go to our website at www.cjsf.ca. Go to our program, our schedule, and you can find all of our shows there, and all of our shows are archived for 1 week following original airtime. So stay tuned for the Jambalaya Show coming up next, but now I leave you with one final tune. This is a song from another Canadian great country and Western singer, Shania Twain, off her 2002 CD, Up. She won the Grammy Award for Best Female Country Vocal Performance for this tune, and in keeping with Mother's Day theme, here we go with Not Just a Pretty Face. Good night, everybody. Have a wonderful weekend.
She plays the bass. Theater for Living, Headlines Theater, is a professional theater company based in Vancouver, British Columbia. It was founded in 1981, and since its founding, Theater for Living has been working in the area of community-based, issue-oriented theater. Performed extensively throughout BC, Canada, and internationally, the company has worked with many groups around the world, including First Nations, refugees, women's groups, environmentalists, street youth, health practitioners, and people who are homeless. Theater for Living gives workshop participants the opportunity to experience theater in a different way, not as something mysterious and inaccessible that is outside their lives, but as a natural language. For more information, visit theaterforliving.com.
Creative Mornings is a free and monthly breakfast lecture series about creativity for the community. With chapters in nearly 130 cities across the globe, Vancouver was the first in Canada and eighth in the world to host conversations with the region's best and brightest creative professionals. Each event is free of charge and includes a 20-minute talk, followed by a group discussion and Q&A. Check us out at www.creativemornings.com.
What a drag it is getting old. Kids are different today. I hear every mother say, mother needs something today to calm her down. And though she's not really ill, there's a little yellow pill. She goes running for the shelter of her mother's little helper, and it helps her on her way, gets her through her busy day. Things are different today. Cooking fresh food for her husband's just a drag. So she buys an instant cake, and she finds a frozen steak, and goes running for the shelter of her mother's little helper. And to help her on her way, get her through her busy day. Doctor, please, some more of these outside the door. Don't appreciate that you get tired. They're so hard to satisfy. You can tranquilize your man. So go running for the shelter of a mother's little helper. And for help you through the night, help to minimize your flight. Doctor, please, some more of.
You're listening to